Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 52, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104, page 52. Question asks this: what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. And also, that I be patient with their failings. For through them, God chooses to rule us. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them first to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 1, page 137. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Numbers 1, beginning at verse 1. And we'll also read verses 16 through 19 of this chapter. Congregation, hear now the very word of God. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel, by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male, head by head. From 20 years old and upward, all in Israel who are able to go to war, you and Aaron shall list them company by company. And there shall be with you a man from each tribe, each man being the head of the house of his fathers. Verse 16. These were the ones chosen from the congregation, the chiefs of their ancestral tribes, the heads of the clans of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men who had been named, and on the first day of the second month, they assembled the whole congregation together, who registered themselves by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and upward, head by head, as the Lord commanded Moses. So he listed them in the wilderness of Sinai. Let us turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, page 669. Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Let us turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, page 1022, verses 5 and 6, Malachi 4. Malachi is the final book in the Old Testament. We'll read the last two verses. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. As far as the reading, God's holy word. Children, God has blessed you with parents, the parents you have. And in an intact home, the parents love their children. And children, you love your parents. But there's more than feelings of affection, even in stable homes, especially in stable homes. And that is authority. There's authority and submission. And we look around in our land and there are lawless groups, there are demonstrations, there are riots throughout the world. Many television hosts mock the president. All of life really shows how much we need to hear instruction from God about authority, about how we are to honor authority. God gives us this very clearly as I proclaim to you this evening. With the fifth commandment, God declares the foundation of society, our filial responsibilities, and a future blessing. So first we consider the foundation of society. Now the catechism answer we consider this evening takes the wording of the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and it applies it to all those in authority over me. And that rightly brings out the heart of the commandment, authority, honoring authority. Yet it also brings out that the family is the foundation of society. God only referred to one's father and mother in the wording of this commandment, yet with this commandment, God speaks to our relationships, our duties, to all those in authority. Now, authority is something that sinful man does not like. Well, sinful man likes to exercise authority over others, rule others, to be a tyrant even. But he does not like to be under someone else's authority. And look at the riots that have occurred in the past few years, not only in our own land, but throughout the world. Yes, one can make a case for lawful disagreement with one's authority. In fact, one can even make a case for one civil authority fighting against another civil authority. But if you listen to much of what is said about those riots, you'll hear a focus that is against authority. If the people don't sign on to something, well, such an authority is illegitimate. It ought to be overthrown. Look at some in our country who declare a president to be illegitimate if he wasn't elected by a majority of those who vote, even if he was elected as prescribed in the Constitution. It's this desire to be a law unto oneself, your own law, autonomy. It's very much the thinking in our day. Think of our own society in this country, how the authority of parents is often dismissed, marginalized, rejected, even at times by the civil authority. Authority, though, is something we are to honor. And that begins in the home. The home is the foundation of society. We read of that from our Numbers reading and our Malachi reading. In Numbers, Moses referred to tribes and clans and families, heads of families. That's how they thought. That's how it was structured as he was organizing a census of the entire nation of Israel. They did not count every single person in that sense, but they organized it according to heads, according to households. We read in verse 2, the congregation of the people of Israel. That was the biblical way of thinking. That congregation, that nation was built upon tribes, which were in turn built upon families. Similarly in Malachi, God says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else he will come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction, with a curse. The relationship of fathers to children, children to fathers, it has an impact upon the whole land. We should not think that was just for Old Testament times. For back before sin, in creation, it was God who founded marriage, one man, one woman. They're the foundation of society. The family is the foundation. It is in the family where we first experience being under authority. As a child, children, you're under the authority of your parents. It's from a family by way of marriage that other family units are formed. Separate households yet connected. From these households then come cities, come states, come nations. It's after the model of the father's authority that other authorities in society are to draw their pattern. And the father's authority is itself modeled upon God's authority, God's fatherhood. The Apostle Paul brought that out in Ephesians 3, verse 15. But we're told something different today. It's the individual, not the family. The individual is exalted, and in so doing, what do we see that has happened parallel to it, linked to it, is the civil government has exalted itself above families as the defender of individuals. In our society, the concept of authority has shifted from fathers and parents, from churches, where the civil government seems to overwhelm all. Not simply even the city or county, but even more the state and even more the federal. Our society has pushed God out of our confession, out of living, and in God's place has placed the civil government. Something powerful, something distant, that has become many persons' God. Many factors that tie into this. On the one hand is the rejection of the true God and the placing of the state as one's God. We see that so much around us, very clearly in Marxist countries, socialistic, totalitarian, big words, but we know those states, those countries, political movements, political parties, statism. Their God is the state. It's a pernicious error. It's a horrible error. But also, the breakdown of the family contributes. As husbands abdicate their duties, they fail to live as they were called to live. Leisure, self, indulgence, those are promoted, they're preached, they're sold by the culture around us. And many, many men have listened to those sermons, neglecting to nurture their wives and their children in the love and the training of the Lord, choosing work, choosing television, choosing pornography, choosing the internet or politics or hobbies or other friends, choosing other things instead of the role God has placed upon them. We see in Malachi, God turns the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. We need that to happen by God's grace. But many men in our land have given up self-government, living self-controlled, sacrificial lives, and are instead pursuing the things of this world, which are so readily given by technology. And in so doing, we see this shift from those who are irresponsible authority bearers to the state, to an authority bearer, the civil government that actually does something, or at least tries to do something, or at least says it's going to try to do something, even if it ends up doing more harm than good. But let me encourage the men here. I've only been here just under a year. But by God's grace, this doesn't characterize you as a group. Be encouraged. God is at work within you. And yet, we fail, don't we? And we're tempted. Hold fast by God's grace. The young men, I speak to you as your pastor, don't follow the world in its allurements. Don't listen to the devil's lies. Don't listen to the pull of your own sinful nature. They would have you sit stupid in front of the television, the movie screen, your phone drooling. They'd have you in front of the magazine or too busy at work, or out in the town with your friends, so you aren't fulfilling your duties in the home. The world would have you to be lazy or leisure-driven, those who give up their God-given roles. Don't follow that path. Don't follow the path of ease, of pleasure. Hear what God instituted in creation in His world. The family is the foundation of society, and you men, you are to take up your God-given responsibilities by God's grace, training yourselves, being trained, being mentored to take them up for His glory. One way of applying this is if you're single and you aren't called to singleness long-term, go find a godly wife. Don't play around. Actively pursue a relationship with a godly lady. Get out of your parents' house, form your own household. That's an application. But God does call us back to the family structure, back to the family as the foundation of society, as the basic unit from which all other aspects of the common life of this world flow. Human authority begins in the home. From that basis, that pattern of authority, it's copied, it's moved into other parts of society. The family is the foundation of society. That is clear from this fifth commandment. The foundation of society. But also, as we see from this commandment, God also declares our responsibilities. We move to that in our second point, our filial responsibilities. Now, summarizing Scripture, the Catechism rightly points out that we are to honor, love, and be loyal to those in authority. We are also to obey and submit to them when they correct and punish. We are to be patient with their failings. Three aspects of our responsibilities, our filial responsibilities. We'll briefly step through those three. But first, can be aware that the world around us tells us to forget authority. Do what you want to do. Oh, do what they say as long as as long as it meets with what you want. But when push comes to shove, if they don't listen to you, forget them, develop yourself, seek yourself. Don't listen to that temptation by God's grace. It is of the devil. That way leads to death. Listen instead to what God commands us. First, we are to honor, love, and be loyal to all those in authority. And notice here, the catechism doesn't explain the commandment by saying we're to obey them. In fact, the commandment's not worded that way, is it? It's worded honor. Obedience is the second aspect, but what's brought out here, honor, love, and loyalty, that demands more than mere obedience. It goes beyond mere outward action, outward compliance. It gets to our heart. Now we'll get later to how to deal with disagreement. First, though, we need to cover what God requires of us. We read in Proverbs chapter 1 that as part of their training in wisdom, what did he say? Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Instruction, teaching. They aren't to be considered a shackle, a hindrance, but what did we read? Verse 9, they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And that is to be our attitude to all authority. We are to have that mindset, that perspective of honor, love, and be loyal. To honor a parent, to honor a church elder, a boss, a governing official, is to exalt them above yourself. It's to show deference to them. It is to consider their commands, their path, their agenda to be followed instead of your own. Honor is how the commandment is stated. That's the very wording. Honor your father and mother. They set the path for marriage, the family, the church, the community. And you not only refuse to resist, you actively accept it as though it was your own way. And you act from that mindset. Honor. Women, mothers, you delight when your children honor you. How do you honor your husband? Do you consider his requests above your own leisure, your own work? Men, you delight when your wife honors you. How do you honor your church elders? How do you honor your civil officials? You can model, men, you can model honor to your wife and children by how you honor. Simple way of doing that. What do you think of the speed limit? What do you think of traffic laws? That's a simple, everyday way you can model honoring authority. Honor. And there's love. To love someone in authority means you seek their good. You seek their benefit. You're not out to marginalize them. You give a charitable judgment. You don't jump to conclusions. You don't assume the worst. You're not judging some unstated motive. You're out to truly help them, sacrificing yourself for them and for their sake. Wives, mothers, you take joy when your children love you, don't you? Even in the midst of disagreement. How do you love your husband, even if there's a disagreement? Men, you take joy when your wife loves you. How do you love the civil authorities? How are you loving to the governor of our state? It's not optional. How do you, how should you love? To be loyal to someone in authority means you stick by them. You're not out to destroy them. You do not try to secretly subvert them or their leadership. You don't try to sabotage their leadership. In fact, quite the opposite. When others do try to work bitterness or discord or hate within a marriage, within a family, within a nation, you are loyal. Children, that means you don't complain to your friends about what your mother or father won't let you do or what they want you to do. It means you don't complain when they make what seems to you unreasonable requests or rules or commands. Wives, it means you don't gossip about your husband. It means you don't pit your children against him, trying to get children on your side. People of God, it means you don't gripe to others about what you might disagree going on at church. We think in our nation, we would not want American citizens to join sides with ISIS, would we? And scornfully criticize our leaders. Why then, children, would you criticize your parents or wives, your husband or men, your church elders? Now, there's a place for legitimate disagreement, and we'll come to that. But let's focus on our duties. And we'll be clear and direct. There are many so-called liberals in our nation who break this commandment with our current president. That's obvious. But it's also apparent that with the previous president, many who call themselves conservatives broke this commandment. Conservatives, many of them who claim to be Christians, who are Christians, have not honored, have not loved, have not been loyal to the previous president. That goes beyond our lives as citizens. But again, we think of members of a congregation with regard to office bearers, we think of spouses, we think in the family. And all that is sin. By God's grace, you and I need to repent of that. By God's grace, do not justify your dishonor, your lack of love, your disloyalty. Don't make excuses. Admit your sin, confess it, turn from it, and honor, love, and be loyal to all those in authority over you. That's what we confess. Scripture teaches. It's very easy to see rebellion in others, isn't it? It's very easy to see rebellion with those with whom we disagree. But I don't have to answer for them. Where is it in your heart, my heart, our lives? Where are you confessing and forsaking this sin? Take opportunity to make clear to your authorities, children to your parents, wives to your husband, men to the office bearers, your boss, your governing officials. Make clear that you are deeply sorry for your dishonoring, your disloyalty, your lack of love. And express your desire and your commitment by God's grace to honor, love, and be loyal. You can strongly disagree with someone and yet honor, love, and be loyal to them. Should we only love, honor, and be loyal to those with whom we agree, with those whom we like, who are the same political party or same faction? The pagans do that. That's not what this commandment requires only. As the Catechism rightly says, it's all those in authority. Jesus says we are to love our enemies. Much more those he has placed in authority. No exceptions. By God's grace, turn from the rebellion in this world. We rightly decry the rebellion that occurs in society around us. And not so many years ago, as it seemed, a whole generation was rebellious. By God's grace, we need to decry the rebellion in our own heart. By God's grace, live like Christians. Now, second, we are to obey and submit to all authorities when they correct and punish us. Now, again, our sinful nature does not want to be told that we're wrong. We bristle, don't we? Don't we want to get defensive? We want to justify ourselves. We want to make excuses. Perhaps we even want to turn our back on them. What do you mean for correcting me? Why you? But being defensive, God doesn't command that. That's not right. And when we think of one individual rebuking another, Jesus teaches about taking the log out of our own eye before we try to get the speck out of the other. But that's different with authority. Yes, those in authority ought to be examining themselves, but there is a difference that the one in authority has an office, has a duty, has a responsibility to correct and punish those under his authority. As we read in Proverbs, the father is to give this instruction. The mother is to have teaching. The child cannot escape punishment by saying to the father, well, you're not disciplining me in correct, complete righteousness. Look to yourself first, Dad. No, not at all. The child must receive it. And so too when a husband corrects his wife or when an elder corrects a congregant. Wives, receive correction from your husbands. Don't bristle, don't ignore, don't walk away. Don't flip it back on him. Congregation, receive correction from the elders. Be open to hearing where you fall short, where you're sinning, where you need to repent. God has appointed them as our authority, that obey and submit when they correct and punish. But third, also, as the Catechism rightly brings out, we're to be patient with their failings. Everyone sins. Everyone fails. That includes parents, husbands, office bearers, bosses, civil rulers. The question is, will we use that as an excuse to rebel, to criticize, to ignore? That's not right. Be patient with their failings. It is a burden to be in a position of authority. Don't make it more of a burden by sniping at the one in authority. Be patient with failings. Now, what do we do when we disagree? Well, first, be humble. Consider again what your authority is saying. Let us say there's still a disagreement. You can respectfully make that known. And again, depending on what realm it is, there are different ways of appealing. But appealing follows a path that's orderly, submissive, respectful. And you can hold a disagreement with someone and again, still submit to them. You can disagree politically with someone and still obey the laws. Children, you can appeal to your parents. Wives, you can appeal to your husbands. Congregants, you can appeal to the consistory. There's an avenue of appeal to classes and even synod. Do you disagree? Follow the right path. All the while having a humble, honoring, loving, loyal attitude and approach. God declares in this commandment our filial responsibilities. But lastly, as we move to in our third point, he also declares a future blessing, a future blessing. Now, this commandment contains a blessing for those who honor their authorities. Malachi 4 brought out a curse where and when there's a breakdown of honoring authority. What's the blessing of living within the authority? Well, there are many blessings in this life. The wording of the commandment puts it, your days may be long. You're following, by God's grace, God's commandment, which is always the way of life and blessedness. It might not bring earthly success. It might not bring earthly pleasure. It might not bring the situation that you thought ought to be done. But God gives peace to those who live within the authorities he has appointed. Honoring authority shields you from temptations, from unnecessary hardships. Children, your parents have reasons, often very good reasons, for the rules they establish. And young people, you are not mature enough or wise enough to run your own life. You're getting there, and your parents are helping you in that. But young people, there are many temptations. There are many pitfalls in life. Your parents have avoided some. Your parents have fallen into some. They want you to avoid them. You're moving toward independence, but you're not there yet. And wives, there's peace, there's harmony in living according to your husband's directions. There's discord, there's friction when you go against them. Now again, that doesn't mean a husband is to be a tyrant. I'm not saying anything like that. But that's a bigger topic for another sermon. But so too in the church, the workplace, the civil realm. Things run smoothly when authority is honored. Life is burdensome. It's not honored. The world, your flesh, the devil, what do they tell you though? Happiness, success, fulfillment, that's found in your doing what you want to do. And that ends in death. You can also see where it ends. It ends in a jail. It ends in a prison. We're not just talking civil disobedience, but look at that. What is a jail or a prison? It's where authority has been disregarded. Who wants to live in a jail or a prison? You see, the end is death. Those who dishonor their authority, they're on the path of death and destruction. Sometimes the Lord mercifully spares, but other times he doesn't. But even more, we're looking toward our heavenly inheritance. And we see this future blessing come to pass with the obedience of Jesus to this command. Jesus submitted to his earthly parents. He submitted even when they sinned in their headship over him. We don't know specifics, but we can imagine. Joseph and Mary, they were sinful. Parents know they must have sinned with regard to Jesus. And yet he submitted. He obeyed. He honored. Jesus submitted to the religious authorities and to the law of Moses with his regulations, even though he is true God. But especially Jesus submitted to the will of his Father in heaven. And what was the will of the Father in heaven? It was to crush Jesus. To pour out his wrath on Jesus. Although innocent, although righteous. In order to take away the punishment and judgment that lay upon us for our sins. The ways of God are mysterious. They're beyond our finding now. But Jesus submitted to his Father's will, even as we find so clearly with his prayer in Gethsemane, hours before the crucifixion. Not as I will, but as you will. There's submission. Jesus set aside his glory, his right to honor and praise. He emptied himself of what he deserved in order to rescue us, in order to rescue us from what we do deserve, hell. And look how God rewarded Jesus. The third day he raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven and was seated at God's right hand. And God gave Jesus the name which is above every name. He is Lord and Christ, ruler of all nations and all peoples. We see the fullness of the blessing of this command as Jesus has inherited it. It's Lord of the new heavens and earth. Trust him. Trust him, yes, to be forgiven of your sin. God forgives all the sins of all those who trust in Jesus. But also trust him that you see there is a blessing for those who live as God has said. Benefit from obeying this command? Jesus' obedience has brought righteousness and life so that we would live long in the land the Lord our God is giving us. We inherit the renewed earth. Praise be to his name. And so when you're tempted to dishonor, to not love, to be disloyal, to chafe under correction, to exploit the failings of authorities. Remember this commandment, not to do that. But also, remember and believe the gospel of Jesus. We have a glorious inheritance because Jesus kept this commandment. And so by his grace and the power of his Spirit, live now according to it. Jesus' glorification is proof. The end of honoring authority, it's life. It's not death. The end is blessedness, even though we sacrifice. Plead for the Spirit. Plead for grace. That the Spirit of Christ would fill you and empower you to obey, honor. Because the world, the flesh, the devil, they're wrong. God is right. And when those around you are puzzled because you've got strong opinions and you think you're right, and that's okay, but you submit to your authority and they ask you, how can you do that? Why aren't you joining with us? He's obviously wrong. You've been given an opportunity to evangelize. You've been given an opportunity to tell others about Jesus, how he obeyed. How he died for your sin of disobedience. How his Spirit is indwelling you and you want to obey. You might disagree. But there are greater issues in life. A lot greater ones. By God's grace then speak. Use that opportunity to evangelize. To point not how you're a good submissive person. But to God's grace in Christ. Those who honor their father and mother all in authority. They will live long in the land the Lord their God gives them. God's declared that. He's shown it with the resurrection, the exaltation of Jesus. Therefore, child of God, go. And by God's grace, honor your father, your mother, all those in authority. And be blessed. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we confess our sin, Christ's righteousness. We cast ourselves on him for forgiveness and for renewal. So, O Lord, fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we would love, honor, and be loyal, that we would obey and be patient. We long for that day, and we will be perfect, and will be whole. For those who are in authority over others, give them grace to not ignore their duties, to not abdicate, but to humbly cast themselves on you for grace to do what you have called them to do. Thank you so much for Jesus, and that our righteousness is in him. Renew us then and use us, Lord, to point to Jesus. May you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.